back room there for just a little bit while we were visiting. The Lord was ministering to me just a little bit. He does that occasionally. It's more so saying what He wants to say to me about what's being said and so forth. And so I have to keep one ear to the conversation, one ear to Him, and, you know. And I've been able to do that over the past few years, you know. Anyhow, I remember we were talking about back when I was first born again and filled with the Spirit. I think it was the night that I was baptized in the Spirit, but it could have been the night after. You know, Jesus, He came into my bedroom and visited me. And that visitation, you know, I don't fully know all about that visitation yet. I still don't fully have all the details. I know some of the things, some of the reasons, but I don't know it fully. I'm not sure when I'll know it fully, what the reasons were. But I know this. I know what type of visitation it was. It was an ordination type visitation. You know, something happened that caused a chain of things to begin to happen afterwards. You know, put some things in motion. And then in August of 94, I believe it was 94, when He caught me up and began to talk to me and tell me some things about the Word of God and about what He wanted and the direction that He wanted me to take and not to vary from it in the years and days and years to come, not to vary from these instructions. And a lot of that is, you know, is what is you know, what we're going to go over tonight is the reason for that. It's the reason for that. And a lot of that was concerning taking the Word of God and changing people's lives. I just can't go to a place and just, you know, have a good time, perform, and not leave people unchanged. I just can't do that. You know, He made that very clear that everywhere you go and everywhere you look in the Word of God, you're going to see personal relationship and bringing personal relationship to others that you come in contact with. And I've had many opportunities and had much pressure. You don't understand sometimes, you know, when you're a traveling evangelist, you know, pastors, you know, and people, and, you know, bless their hearts, they mean well, but, you know, they kind of put on you this pressure of you going to perform tonight. You know, there's been many times I've been in church buildings and in meetings, you know, you would know right away that was there confronting you, that they wanted you to perform, you know. Are you going to do better tonight what you've done last night? Is it going to be that much better tonight? You know, that performance pressure is there. And I learned a long time ago, my pastor, Pastor Dave Robeson, he told me one time in the office, he said, whatever you do, don't give in to the performance. Don't give in to the pressure of the form. And it was a weight came off of him because, you know, he had this way of, you know, through word of knowledge and knowing what was going on in the Spirit, he knew what I was confronted with when I would go and do these meetings and so forth. And he would get a full report of these meetings every time I came back. But he would always know what I was confronted with or what changes I might need to make. And it always worked into the conversation one way or the other. You know, it wasn't just, you know, if you were looking for a thus saith the Lord, you probably would, you'd miss it because it wasn't that way. You know, and he would always work it into our conversations and you always knew where it was coming from. You know, he didn't have to say thus saith the Lord. You knew where it was coming from. So whatever you do, don't give in to the performance pressure. It took a weight off of me because from that moment on, I had just come back from a set of meetings and I was confronted with that very strongly about them wanting me to perform. From that moment on, it released me. It released me. I didn't have to go and do a miracle service, and if something happened or a bunch of things happened, you know, that was up to God. You know, what God wanted to do and what He could deliver through me, He would do. And what didn't happen, hey, I was relieved of it because it wasn't me doing it anyhow. See, they forget. it's not the man doing it anyhow. It's God doing it. And so, tonight, I want to go into the Word of God a little bit. I know you're expecting it. You're going to get something out of this tonight. And I don't know what all He's going to do tonight. But I know it's going to be good. I know the whole weekend's going to be good. I can tell you this. If you thought that you're going to come tonight and get it all that's going to happen this weekend, you better just get ready to come back tomorrow night. Right now. Just go ahead and get ready right now. Make plans for tomorrow night. Because it's not going to all come to me. Hallelujah. I know that much. I know that it's not all going to be tonight. Hallelujah. Turn with me. It'll be a familiar chapter for you. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. We had a wonderful trip up here today. Hallelujah. Just excited about being here and looking forward to this and seeing all my friends and all my brothers and sisters and seeing what God wants to do and bless people and touch people. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We'll start in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Extend your faith this way. Father, I thank you right now for that anointing to bring your word. Father, I thank you that the anointing is here to open up ears to hear and open up hearts to receive what you have tonight, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that your anointing is here tonight to do miracles, healings, Father, and set people free. Spirit, soul, and body, Father, set them free into a new realm that they've never walked in before. I thank you for that, Father God. I give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's go in 1 Corinthians and start in chapter 2. And I want to make a statement to you. It's going to really, really rock some of you back on. You're going to wonder about it a little bit. At least you'll remember. There's not going to be any Baptist in heaven. There's not going to be any assemblies in heaven. There's not going to be any Pentecostals in heaven. There's not going to be any Catholics in heaven. Well, where are they going to hell? I didn't say that. Depends. If they know Jesus, though, they'll be in heaven. But only those that know Jesus be in heaven. No labels are going to be known in heaven. Well, Paul, he was really addressing some of that, even this early in the church. I mean, they didn't have the labels on Baptists. You know, if they had any right to have a label on, they would have been Pentecostal because the day of Pentecost had come, gone, you know, so that time period. But he was addressing some of that right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So let's take a close look at this. And you'll see what I'm talking about here as we go. It says in verse 4, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In other words, what he did wasn't empty words. You know, one thing I was taught by Dave Roberson, one thing that I was taught is there's no place for powerless evangelists. Just because you think they're an evangelist and they're full of words, if they don't have the power and the working of miracles, they're not an evangelist. You might as well say it because it's true anyhow. One thing we don't tolerate is powerless evangelists and dry teachers. See, you when you're called into a place in the body of Christ, you should bring with you that anointing that delivers you to that place that people know that you're who you are. You don't have to tell them what you are. It delivers you to that place that people know that they're being taught. People know that an evangelist is in their midst, that a prophet is in their midst, that an apostle is in their midst, because the anointing and the gifts that come with that calling justify it, qualify it, validate it, whatever word you want to use. It comes with it. So Paul here, he was saying, he said, my speech, he said, they're not persuasive words of human wisdom, but it comes in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And so he goes on, he's setting the tone now. He's saying, now listen, you need to listen. Because when I talk, when I say these things, it comes with the power of God to back it up. See, I mean, you know, you can find an empty gospel anywhere. I mean, the churches are full of an empty gospel. You know, a lot of churches are not even getting anybody born again. I mean, you know, the basic thing that a church should be doing is getting people born again. Actually, it should be going farther than that. But that's just the start. At least that. And most of them have turned into nothing but performance-oriented organizations, with one program after another in order to grow the church. They forgot about how the church grew initially in the book of Acts. That was through the miracles that the apostles done, and those that came after the apostles, the miracles and the signs and wonders that followed those men around. Excuse it away, you know. Devil comes in and says, and it's an easier way. Those things passed away with the first 12. You don't have to do those things. Here's a program. It's better. We call that being neutralized in the body of Christ. The devil has neutralized that person or that group of people. Many a moves of God started out as great moves, mighty moves, only to be neutralized by the enemy later on down the road. Many. So he said, it comes with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, and that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, that's where your faith should lie. It shouldn't lie in, you know, what is man going to do for me? What is an organization going to do for me? It should lie in trusting in what God can do for you and how He can change your life. That program that a church has is only going to change things temporarily. If it's not changed by the power of God and what is working inside your life, if you're not changed by what is working on the inside, you're not going to be changed for over just a little while. I mean, you can go to a psychologist. If you're having problems, mental problems, depression and things like that, you can go to a psychologist or a counselor or something like that, and you can get temporary relief. It'll last about 2 hours. But if you want change, you're going to have to at some point come to the place that you're trusting God to make those changes in your life, and that the power of God come in and change it in your life. That's what's going to happen if you want your life changed from where it's at now to where you want it to be. God is the one that you're going to have to depend upon. He's the one to count on. He can do it tonight. He can do it tonight. I got so many things. It's going to take all weekend. I can't do it tonight. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they had known the truth, If they had known the truth, they would not have crucified him. But then they didn't try to find the truth either, did they, most of them? But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. He's saying, God has prepared all of these things for you. You're to have all of these things, and all your dependency and faith should be in God. And He's prepared all of these things, and He's the one that you're going to have to go to and find out these things, because man is not going to be able, except through the power of God, going to be able to reveal them to you. That's the only way you're going to find out what all God has prepared for you and has given you for your life. Hang with me, because He's laying a foundation here of something that He wants to get across to you tonight. We've already said some key things that's going to bring this around full circle where you'll be able to see it. But God has revealed it in verse 10. God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. See, the Holy Spirit, people really have a tough time with this. You know, it's God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they think, well, okay, it's a step down. It's God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's not right. They're all three one. They're all three one. And what God has and what He has for you and I, the Holy Spirit searches. Searches what God has for you, for me. See, He knows. He knows what God has for each one of us. And these things are revealed to us through His Spirit. Well, that should tell us right there. If we're going to find out what God has for us in the days to come and what it's going to take to get us out of where we're at right now, the spot that we're in, and get us going the right direction, we're going to have some help somewhere. Because we're not going to be able to do it alone. And a psychologist is not going to help us. A psychiatrist is not going to help us. A church organization is not going to help us. Unless it knows God. Knows how to go into the power of God. Probably it wouldn't be an organization if it did. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He works with our born-again spirit and reveals those things to us through our born-again spirit. You being born again and having a born-again spirit is what enables you to be able to receive from God and receive truth from God. Receive what God, what is of God, and know what is not of God. That's why people that are not born again, they don't understand the things in this book. There's a lot of people that know a lot more of the Word of God than I do. I didn't say they knew the truth. I said they know the Word of God. They know what's written on the pages. That doesn't mean they know the truth. And He sent the Holy Spirit that we might be guided and all the truth revealed to us of what is right and what is wrong. You can know a lot of the Bible and still be walking in blind deception. If you don't believe me, just ask someone in one of these organizations if they pray in other tongues. They'll either not know what you're talking about or say it's of the devil. That's because the truth is being withheld from them. Now, they could have the truth if they sought it out, but they don't seek it out. They're not using the seeker to seek it out, the Holy Spirit. Well, we can't just sit there and think that we're going to absorb it. You can't come to church service every Sunday or every Wednesday and think, well, I'm going to get out of these things because I'm going to sit here and just absorb it. That's not going to work. I mean, people have been doing that for a long time and sitting in the same church pew that's got their name on it for 50 and 60 years. And yet they're deceived. And then not only are they deceive the next generation that comes along. Their sons and daughters and their grandsons and granddaughters are all deceived the same way. Why? Because nobody stopped to change themselves. Nobody stopped to find out the truth and began to change themselves, began to do the things necessary to change. He gave someone that will help us begin to change those things in our lives. You mean I just can't sit there and it's going to happen for me? No. No, you can't. Newsflash. It doesn't work that way. Oh, but I got an answer for you. But I don't want to have to do it. I want my pastor to do it for me. You and millions of others. You know, back in the 40s and 50s, some of you can remember that better than I can. David. Back in the 40s and 50s, there was a disease that swept through the country called polio. Crippled thousands and hundreds of thousands and even millions of people all over the world. It's estimated even right now that around 600,000 people exist in the United States with the effects of polio in their body. You know, and millions still yet around the world that have the effects of it. A crippling disease put them in wheelchairs, put them in braces. The body of Christ. The body of Christ is crippled. The body of Christ walks around in braces, in wheelchairs. I'm talking about spiritually. Because it doesn't seek out the truth and get the cure, get the vaccination. A vaccination came along in the 50s for polio. You can be vaccinated against deception in your life, but you have to take the vaccination. If you don't take the vaccination, you're going to end up crippled your entire life. In the body of Christ. A spiritual cripple. You got to take the vaccination. There's a vaccination for deception. You don't have to be deceived. You can walk in truth. You can walk in freedom. But you're going to have to put your dependency upon God. And you don't just sit there and get it by osmosis. You've got to do something about it. You've got to do something with things in the Word of God in order to be vaccinated against deception. See, I want to walk in all the truth that I can get. That's what He called me to do. That's what He called every believer to do, is to walk in truth. He didn't call us to walk into deception. He didn't call us to walk in a lie. He doesn't want us cheated out of everything, out of the grace of God. Anytime, Anytime you let the enemy or a group of people, a tradition or a denomination or an organization, whatever label you want to put on, anytime you let them talk you out of a healing, of a blessing in the Word of God, you're letting them deceive you and cheat you out of some grace that God freely gave at the cross. So your healing's by grace. Your prosperity's by grace. Your deliverance is by grace. By the grace of God. But you have got to walk into that grace. I thought I just took it on Sunday morning after partying all Saturday night. Not quite. Not quite. Some would have you believe that's the only thing you've got to look forward to. But let me tell you something. God wants you to walk into freedom in every area of your life. Healing in your bodies. Prosperity in your checkbooks. Hey, let's get past this prosperity deal of, well, he gave me a new car and he gave me a new TV. No, let's talk about prosperity that gets people born again and saves an entire generation. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that when we talk about prosperity. Let's talk about what we can do with our money in order to create more time that we can pray and get a generation saved. That we can pray and fast and make sure our city is going to heaven instead of to hell. How about that? How about that? When we talk about money, let's talk about that. What it takes to in order to buy more time, that we can redeem that time. How about that? You're not going to let the devil deceive you out of what is yours, are you? Get to heaven and have to be reminded that this was yours, and you let the enemy deceive you out of it. See, that's the only way he can steal from you is through deception. Whatever he can deceive you out of. False doctrine will do that to you. Wrong doctrine will do that to you. Following wrong directions will do that to you.
What if I followed the wrong direction? What do I do?
Get back on the right direction. First, you've got to get on your knees and find out what it is. Because the Holy Ghost is the one who knows what God's plan was for your life and where you should have been. All you have to do is meet with Him every day and He'll begin to set you on the right path and take you the direction that you were supposed to go, that you left. God never walked away. You walked away. But, hey, He's merciful and graceful in that area. You turn your face to Him, He'll bring you right back to that path. Set you right back on it. Glory! Now that's the grace of God, that you were able to turn back to Him and receive from Him and get back on the right path. That's the grace of God. Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah. So Paul goes on here, and I'm not even going to read it. You should have already read it before we got here today. If you'd have been seeking the Lord, you'd have known what I was going to talk about tonight. He knew it. The only one didn't know it was me. But he said comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. And you using the Holy Spirit in your born-again spirit, comparing these things, making sure that they are truth and that you won't be led down the wrong path. He said, I can't even give you mature things. He said, you're barely on milk. Some of you are not even on milk. You know, one says, I'm of Paul. One says, I'm of Apollos. One says, I'm Baptist. The other one says, I'm Assembly. But he said, he gave the Holy Spirit that you might be able to compare spiritual things against spiritual in order to make sure that you're following truth following the right path. And then he talked about those that did follow the wrong path, took the wrong path, wasn't the path that God had intended, and laid up all this wood, hay, and stubble. And it was went up in a puff of smoke on that day that it was destined for fire. But they were saved because they didn't depart from the Lord Jesus. Christ in that foundation. But now, he didn't give any excuse for that. He said, you have to stay with the foundation of being born again, of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and having Him as your Savior. You have to stay with that. You can't leave the foundation. You might do these other things and it'd go up in a puff of smoke and have nothing to show for it when you get to heaven, but you can't leave the foundation. You can't be deceived to the point that you leave the foundation. And some have been. Some have been, but they wouldn't have had to been if they had given themselves over to the Holy Spirit. If they had turned to the Holy Spirit, that they might be led into all truth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, in order to make sure that it was truth and not false doctrine. But why would you want to give up anything? I want it all. I want to get to heaven and know that most of what I did, you know, is going to be tested by fire and will stand that test. I know that there's some. I already know that there's some that's not going to stand the test of fire. Some that I've laid up is not going to stand the test of fire. But I want to do as much as I can in the days to come to make sure that what I do is being led by the Spirit of God, that God ordained it in order that when that test of fire comes, it stands that test. But one thing I sure don't want to do is get let off of the foundation. That would not be a good thing. Well, there ain't but one way that you're going to make sure that you're not deceived out of what's rightfully yours, out of the grace of God that He delivered to you. There's only going to be one way to be able to do that. And that's through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. See, it's the Word that sets our parameters. It's the truth in the Word of God that sets our parameters. That's what makes it sure that we receive everything that we have from God, is that we're following the Word of God, and we know through the leadership of the Holy Spirit that we're following that. See, you have to, Paul was talking about it. He said, hey, this comes by the Holy Spirit. These words that I talk to you, they come from the Holy Spirit. They come from the truth out of the Word of God. See, now you and I, we got it better. I mean, he had the law. And then he took the law and the Holy Spirit, and he got truth and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Now you and I, we got it already in a book, and we still manage to get deceived. But we don't have to. We can walk into all truth. We can change our lives and go a different direction. But we've got to turn ourselves over to the Holy Spirit and begin to take the Word of God and then let Him compare the things that are in our life. Those wrong things. I'm not talking about smoking and chewing and going with girls that smoke and chew. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about wrong doctrine, wrong thinking in our lives. We take the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and we let the Holy Spirit begin to compare. Here's what truth is in the Word of God. Here's what we got in our life. Does it match up? Does it agree? And that's where we find out if we're headed the right direction and if we're laying up to our account in heaven. But if you don't take time to get in the Word of God and begin to meditate on it, in fact, let's take a look at that. How about Joshua 1:8? That would be a good place to go to. Or we could go to Psalms. How about Psalms? Or we could go to 1 Timothy. Where would you like to go? How about 1 Timothy? I'm going to read them backwards. How about 1 Timothy chapter 4? And then we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Then we might go to Psalms. Then we might go to Joshua. I don't know. Are you having a good time yet? I am. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Till I come, in verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now he's talking to him there. Of course, he's talking to believers in general, but he's also talking to him about, you know, showing proof of his ministry and so forth to carry out his ministry. But this is for all believers. He said, till I come, give attention to reading. Give attention to reading that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Now, verse 15 is where I wanted you to look at. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Look up here. It'll still be there. It's been there 2,000 years. It'll still be there. Look up here. It's supposed to be evident to others that you're on the right track, that you're walking with God, that you're letting the Holy Spirit come into your life, that you're getting in and reading the Word of God and laying your hand on these prophecies that you received in the past. See, some of you have received prophecies from other men of God that God has moved through. You've received prophecies and words from Him, but yet you've not laid hold of them. It's just been another day in the church. You need to lay hold of those things. Those things were given by God in order that you might prosper. Some of you prosper in your bodies through them. Some of you prosper in your emotions. Some of you prosper in your pocketbook. Some of you prosper spirit, soul, and body. But regardless, they were given that you might prosper. The Word of God was given that you might prosper. But if you don't go to the trouble of giving yourself over to the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues, and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit that He might reveal truth in the Word of God, if you don't do these things, you will not prosper. You won't be like a tree planted by the waters that prospers. If you don't meditate on the Word of God day and night and not let it depart from your mouth. See, you've got to take the Word of God and the promises in the Word of God and begin to not let them depart from your mouth and begin to meditate on them day and night and offer yourself over to the Holy Spirit. Now, what do these verses really mean? And am I stopping short? Am I taking one verse out of context? And am I stopping short and shortchanging myself in the grace of God? He will tell you that. But if you don't fellowship with Him, if you don't turn yourself over to the things of God, you're not going to find these things out. Shelley and I were counting up this week, and she got all of them out, all of the prophecies that we've received, and I think we were missing one. One in particular that we could not find. But all the prophecies over the past... How long have we been married? 15 years. 16 years. My. All of those years, prophecies that we've received ever since we've been together. We received these prophecies and they were written down. They were transcribed out of tapes. We received all of these prophecies, wrote them all down, had them on file that we can look at them. Some of them have come to pass, some of them haven't come to pass yet. But they're still there from God. They'll still come to pass in the days to come. Probably when we get in line to receive them to come to pass. See, we think we're waiting on God, when actually God is waiting on us. And He sent the Holy Spirit. He gave us His Word that we could take these things and begin to change our life and walk out of where we're at.
Oh, I'm just going to wait till the next guest speaker. I'm going to wait till the next performing evangelist.
Then you'll stay the way you are the rest of your life until you go to heaven and find out that what you laid up that you thought was gold was actually hay and stubble because it wasn't even anything that God wanted you to do. And you were led down the wrong path by the wrong person or persons. But you don't have to have it that way. It doesn't have to be that way. You can start right now. It's not even too late. All you have to do is check your pulse. If you still have a pulse beat, it's not too late. You can start right now to change things in your life. You can start right now to start that right direction, see? I'm more concerned with people getting deceived out of their salvation.
Well, I don't think that you can be deceived.
Oh, yeah, you can get so far out that God, He wants to get you back and can't get you back because you went too far out. Not that He wouldn't if He could. He would. He has an abundance of grace and mercy. But if He can't get you turned back to Him, you could be deceived out of your salvation. Now, I know. I know that it's hard, that it can happen. But what about what you want to lay up in heaven? You want to be without when you get to heaven? How about them souls that you could have took with you? I tell you, He's been answering prayers for me lately.
What prayers is that?
God, I don't want to go to heaven without any of my family. I do not want to go to heaven without my family. Give me my family. Well, you've got to do something about it. Like you've got to be ready when the opportunity presents itself. Well, if you're backslidden yourself, how are you going to be in the position to do that? Good time, he said. Hallelujah. But you can change it, see? That's the good thing. You can change it. He supplied everything necessary. But it might require this. You may have to turn off the TV a little bit to get started on the right track. You might have to do that. You might have to go to church a little more than 5 minutes a week. You might have to go into the prayer closet more than 5 minutes a month. You know. You might even have to go without a meal or two. Not that it wouldn't hurt some of us. Myself included. See? It might take walking the floor and speaking to those things. Calling them the way God looks at them instead of the way they are.
Are you begging God when you do this?
No. No, I'm just trying to exercise my faith. I'm trying to change myself. I'm trying to increase my faith because I know that when I increase my faith, then I can access more of the grace of God that will actually bring the manifestation. See, some of us, you know, we can't even worry about faith because we haven't crossed into hope yet. If you've lost all hope, you can't even worry about it. Forget faith. You've got to have hope before you can have faith. Boy, tomorrow night's going to be good. You all could shut down service, you know. You don't have to have service. You could do it right here, you know. change starts, but what we do today determines tomorrow. What are you going to do today? That's going to determine tomorrow. See, it's too late already to change today. You should have done that yesterday. You could have changed today by doing something different yesterday. But you can change tomorrow by what you do tonight. Paul said, so this comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. This comes from the Spirit of God. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Let you find out whether you're walking in the will of God or not. See, if you're doing everything that God called you to do. Are you doing everything that God called you to do? There ain't but one way you're going to find out. And that's get in the Word of God and begin to let the Word of God change your life. Find out the truth in the Word. Yes, healing is for today. There's some truth. How about that? See, healing is for today. Praying in tongues is for today. How about that? Well, the only way you're going to find out these things is get in the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to come and be your teacher. See, that's what He is your teacher. I sit down. I stand up, whatever I'm going to do to pray. I say, Holy Spirit, come and be my teacher. Because He told me, He said, from this day forth, back in August of 94, He said, from this day forth, you'll teach people about personal relationship. And everywhere I take you in the Word of God, you're going to be able to see personal relationship. He was setting me straight and headed me in a certain direction that He wanted me to go. See? But it's the Holy Spirit that does these things. And if you don't let Him loose in your life, if you don't turn Him loose in your life, and you don't begin to take time in your life to get in the Word of God, you're not going to find out the truth. You're not going to find out what God has for your life. You're not going to find out what He actually meant for your life. You're not going to find out what He gave you at the cross for you to have. See? Hallelujah. And it'll keep you from departing from that foundation. It'll keep you from having things, everything burn up when you get tested. When that gets tested by fire, all of it won't burn up. I'm not saying some of the stuff you've already done won't get burned up. I'm just saying it'll keep it to a minimum in the days to come. Because you took time out to give yourself over to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Begin to change some things in your life.
Well, I thought it was God. I thought He told me to quit church.
Are you kidding me? If He did, it was probably because it was dead to begin with. If He told you to. Most people can't stay out of a church and stay in prayer. You can, but most people can't. Because nobody is there to keep them edged and pushed in the right direction. Amen. Most people have to have somebody to be accountable to. Stand at your feet.